You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Paddy Aspel here to preview four of the races on Monday. You can hear every single race live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. in the company of Gordon Brown, Craig Forsyth and John Budden for Warwick, Kempton and Pontefract in the afternoon, and then Lingfield, Windsor and Navan in the evening. My name is Sam Norris, as mentioned, and it's a very warm welcome to the podcast to Paddy Aspel. How are you, Paddy?
I'm fine, Sam. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thanks. You've been riding in Guernsey a little bit lately.
Jersey last week.
Jersey was it, yeah. Guernsey next week.
Big meeting at Guernsey next week.
Right.
Guernsey, to be fair, they've only got one meeting per year.
All right.
So the prize money's a bit better.
Yeah.
And there's no jumping there. They go the opposite way around, right-handed, but apparently it's just on a bit of common ground. It's a very tight track.
Right.
Not been, but yeah, it's next Monday. But Jersey, I had been before about 9 or 10 years ago, and I rode some winners over jumps and on the flat out there. And they just have one hurdle race, the first race, and then the rest are all flat races.
Right.
But it's very fast ground, but lovely track, good stiff finish. Serena Brotherton actually rode a couple of winners out there for Mick Appleby. The UK trainers tend to do well at the early meetings because they're a good bit more forward than the Jersey trained horses. But no, it's enjoyable and it makes a nice change, and it's a real nice meeting if anybody was wanting to go to it. It's a fantastic day out right on the coast.
All right, good stuff. Let's have a little bit of a recap, Paddy, on some of the racing on Saturday as well back on these shores, because it was a fabulous day over both codes. We had the Scottish Grand National meeting, of course, at Ayr, and the Greener meeting at Newbury. We'll start with the action at Ayr. Vicente winning the Scottish Grand National for the second year in a row, and it was a thrilling finish as he denied Cogri in the closing stages, and a horse that clearly loves the race and just thrives off air.
Yeah, I wouldn't think Sam Twiston was a popular boy at home last night.
Might have been a bit of an awkward dinner.
Yeah, but like apparently, you know, he's got shares in like the ownership of the second and third, you know, as regards the business name,
right.
You know. So it was comical, really. But I mean, obviously his dad would be chuffed for him, but he'd have been happier to been a neck in front of him.
Yeah.
Prize money wise, it was quite 122 grand to the winner. It's a big difference between 1, 2, 2 and 45 grand.
Yeah.
But no, it was a great race, and it looked to me, I mean, 11 stone 10, Sam.
Mm.
You know, 11 stone 10. Obviously, he did he tip up at the first in the National?
He did, yeah. Well, he was sort of brought down by cocktails at dawn.
Yeah, so obviously it was you know, you could totally discount that. So he was coming here a fresh horse, but it looked to me like such a great position for Sam to be in, because it looked really like Paul just gave him free rein, just ride him how you want. And he did. He gave him plenty of time, plenty of room, and obviously with that sort of weight, he had to ride him conservatively. But I thought it was fantastic, and I mean, even going down to the last, he still had a race on his hands, because Cogri is a real grinder. You know, and you won't get past Cogri too easily. But and like I say, he was giving him 18 pound. You know, fantastic performance, and gave weight, plenty of weight away to, you know, the three horses that were behind him, because even though Ben Benz wasn't too far behind, and old Alvarado, who we've seen pick up the pieces so many times in these races, you know, he's a real good old stick, and you'd love to see Connections get his head back in front maybe before they call it a day with him. But no, great race all round, and obviously prize money wise it just sort of tightened the contest up a little bit. And obviously we've got Paul Nicholls there again today. I won't say paw hunting, but you know, because the ground is quick, people aren't that keen to run.
Yeah.
And obviously people want to withhold their novice status. So Paul Nicholls is making hay while he can. At the same time, he's making inroads in the Trainers' Championship. So, no, good effort.
Absolutely. And we had some great action on the flat as well from Newbury. We're only a couple of weeks away from the 2,000 guineas. And the winner of the big race of the day, Barney Roy, who won the Greenham for Godolphin. And it's been a pretty decent start to the season for Godolphin. Does he look a potential guineas contender for you, Paddy? He's currently 5-1 in the betting.
Yeah, I think he would. And just the fact that really Hannon's yard haven't been firing on all cylinders as regards some of the other yards. They've been doing fine, but they've not been running as well or maybe just seen as far forward as some of the others. So, but I thought he was very strong to the line. The second horse, I think, is a very good horse.
Yeah.
He was a little bit too exuberant yesterday and, you know, just probably done enough over that trip 7 furlongs because he came here on the back of just one run at Donnie, which was only like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I'd say this Frankel colt has got a fair level of ability. I think in an ideal world, Connections now will look to come back and trip because he's all speed.
Mm.
And I think the more racing he does, the more he's going to improve. And I think the further he goes in his career, I think the more we're going to see him actually coming back and trip. So I think the form is pretty decent. And they had a fair bit of ground on the third horse. You know, he was 4 lengths back,
yeah.
You know, and in a 7 furlong contest, that's a fair bit of distance. I mean, even for the winner, he had Dreamcastle 2 lengths behind, but Dreamcastle did just run out of gas right on top of the line. But no, overall, it was a decent performance. And like you say, Godolphin are, you know, they're going all guns blazing just now.
Yeah. Churchill still the 11-8 favourite for the 2,000 guineas. Alwicare 4-1. Barney Roy 5-1. Eminent is 6-1. Caravaggio 9s. 14s and bigger the rest. Any ideas for the 2,000 guineas at this stage?
Well, I mean, like it says on our screen there, Order of the Garter.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say it's an absolute no-brainer that he's going to be supplemented.
Yeah,
he looks
surely.
very exciting. I mean, look, what I won't say what has he been beating in Ireland. That's not the case. He's been absolutely bolting up and looking really, really impressive. So at 20s, I think he's a massive price. And like I say, he's got to be supplemented first. But I'd imagine it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, you would think so. Order the Garter then at 20-1 does need to be supplemented for the 2,000 guineas. Just before we move on then, Paddy, a word on another superstar filly for John Gosden that we saw on Saturday, and that was Dabia, who won the Fred Darling a little bit earlier on in the day. She's now a joint second favourite for the 1,000 guineas behind Rhododendron. He does seem to have some exciting fillies on his hands, John Gosden.
He certainly does. He had 3 winners on the card yesterday, and that was following on from a fantastic day there previous. And
yeah.
I mean, Frankie just looks to be really enjoying riding these horses at the minute because they're so far forward. And they're keeping it simple. I mean, this one just popped out and made all yesterday and was never in any sort of danger whatsoever. And to the eye, it was very visually impressive. I thought, you know, maybe the bit of the fly in the ointment was the horse that was second, getting as close as he did to him, Urban Fox, because, I mean, that filly, you know, I think from what we've seen, had to come forward a fair bit. So that maybe holds back the form a little bit, but it's there in black and white for anybody to see. The form of the yard at the minute, they're just absolutely on fire. And you know, but both the maidens and even the more experienced horses are well forward.
Yeah, absolutely. He's hitting form at the right time and does have a few exciting fillies on his hands, that is for sure. We'll move on then, Paddy, to take a look at some of the races on Monday. We've got 4 races picked out from 4 different venues on Monday, and we begin at Pontefract with the 305, which is a 5 furlong sprint handicap, a Class 2 event with just shy of 12.5 grand on offer to the winner. A field of 7 look to be lining up for this one. Who do you have in mind for the this race at Ponty?
I mean, we weren't really massively big on numbers here, and the bulk of these, to be honest, Sammy, are, I won't say long in the tooth, but they'll only win in the turn simply because of their marks.
Yep.
You know, they're so high, they're probably hard horses to play. So for me, it boiled down to the 2, Edward Lewis and Art Collection.
The 2 4-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Edward Lewis was quite convincing at Beverly the other day, and he makes a quick reappearance here with a penalty, but Josh Dyle rides, so he just about offsets that. But Art Collection, who really his best form is probably on the artificial surface, but he has won on grass, this horse, and I was just so impressed with the way he travelled up at Newcastle. Travelled very, very strong, you know, such a stiff track, and when he was sent for home, he wasn't for stopping,
yeah.
And was very strong to the line that day. He's 2 from 2 for Root Carr, who actually picked this horse up, you know, for reasonable money from Gary Moores. And so far, obviously, it would have been 2 from 2. He looks a very good buy. But his mark has crept up now to 88. And, I mean, his turf mark has actually been risen in accordance with his all-weather mark.
Right, okay.
So, really, I find that a little bit unfair because, you know, he's not been racing on turf lately. He's been on the all-weather, so really he should be able to turn up tomorrow of 80, which is the mark he finished off on for Gary Moore on grass. And I would sort of crib that a little bit, but then again, he's a horse bang in form, and I don't think a mark of 88 is belonging, but beyond him from what I've seen, the sort of performances he's been putting up. And Ruud Carr's yard, obviously, she's a fantastic trainer with cast, not, I won't say cast offs, but just yard horses that she gets some other yards. Maybe that don't look as if they've got an awful lot of rope to play, which they actually progress in Ruud's care. So, you know, it's fantastic. And both her and Jimmy Sullivan have a great relationship. But he is 2 from 11 on the turf. But I do think performance wise, he looks a better horse on the all weather now. But you know, he's open to improvement because he is 4, and this is a fairly trappy contest, as I said, mainly full of horses that only win in the turn. And if the same sort of horse that we've been seeing on the all weather turns up tomorrow on the grass, I think he'll take a bit of beating, and it's quite a nice pot. This 12.5 to the winner.
Okay, Art Collection then gets the vote for Paddy in that 3.05 at Ponty. We go jumping now at Warwick for the 3.25, a novices handicap chase upcoming here. 2 miles is the trip for this class two, a field of 6 lining up to contest it. And once again, Paddy, there's a good pot on offer, and it's attracted a small field, but a reasonably talented one.
Yeah, small but select, as you would say, but, you know, it's over 15.5 grand to the winner, and on a Monday at Warwick, over jumps. That's fantastic money. You know, really. But, you know, because this is a 0-130 and such, so it's I won't say a massively good turnout, but it's very, very competitive for the money that's on offer, and so it should be. But the one I liked was actually the one down sort of near the foot of the weights, was Innocent Girl for Harry Fry and Kieran Edgar. She's fairly consistent, this one, to be honest, and it's a horse I really like, and was beaten favourite the last day, but was unlucky because looked to be arriving on the scene to go and do some real damage, and was a little bit slow and sticky at the last, and didn't really get away from the back of it all that well. Be it running today, obviously, could put a little bit of fly in the ointment there, but I'll stick where I am because, like I say, on all known form to date, I would forgive her that last run where she was unlucky to finish second, like I say, having come there to win a race. And if she's fitting well and healthy, hopefully Connections will turn back up tomorrow to pick up some of that nice prize.
Okay, Innocent Girl, the selection then for Paddy. In that 3.25 at Warwick, we go across the Irish Sea now for the 5.25 at Navan. The big race of the day there is the listed Woodland Stakes over 5 furlongs, and we've got a field of 10 going to post here, and some talented performers. Paddy, who caught the eye?
This was a very, very interesting race for me, Sammy, and I was intrigued by Aidan O'Brien's filly down the bottom, Eastern Angel, that they bought at the February sales, paid $500,000 for. Very, very good mare. And the one thing I would say here, off a mark of 109, goes very well fresh and has got plenty of form and stiff tracks. It was a trappy contest because there was a few in there that I liked, to be honest, but you know, it's just this record of going well fresh. It'll be just so interesting to see how Aidan O'Brien has fared out with her and what sort of form she arrives in here. But the fact that they went to the trouble of getting her at the sales and obviously paid so much money for her, but she's a very, very good mare, and you know, was a real good was a bit of a stable star really for the Dodds team, and just be interesting to see how she gets on. But just the fact that they're starting her off at somewhere like Navan, a track, you know, she's got form at sort of Sandown, Ascot, just typically stiff tracks, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this one tomorrow. And it looks a wide open race, but I think there's some fantastic prize money on offer, and it just looks a real good starting point for her.
Yeah, Eastern Angel, the selection then. Were you surprised, Paddy, to see Shami Heffernan go for Washington DC? Presumably he would have had the choice.
Yeah, I mean, on ratings, there's very, very little between them. And so Washington DC is actually going to have to give Eastern Angel, a little bit of weight. Yeah. Not much at all. But, you know, it's like I said, it's an intriguing race, and there was a few here that I liked, you know, and there's horses coming into the race in form, you know, Downforce and Primo Umo, who's actually going for the hat-trick. And, you know, it's by no means any sort of a penalty kick, but I think on her day, Eastern Angel is a very, very, very good animal, as it's there for everybody to see.
Eastern Angel then gets the vote in that 5:25 at Navan. The final race on today's podcast then comes from Windsor, and this is the 6:15. A 6 furlong handicap upcoming here with a field of 12 going to posters. Evening racing gets underway at Windsor, racing there right the way through the course of the season in the evening now. And what did you make of this one?
I was going to go for the course specialist here, Sammy Rio Ronaldo,
yep,
for the Mike Murphy Yard. I'm pretty sure Spencer rode this one last time and didn't run, although on paper looked like an average enough run, but looked like a horse who would really come forward for it. And one thing is, he's been to Windsor, I think about 5 or 6 times, but is a 3-time course winner and has actually won on the grass nowhere else. So obviously has a real liking for Windsor. Mark is down to 80, which is a pound below its last winning mark. And as I've said, isn't drawn badly in 5. And its last win came round about maybe a couple of weeks previous, this time last year.
Right, okay.
So I think there's plenty of boxes to be ticked there. Obviously, if the improvement is there from the Leicester reappearance, I think it brings Rio Ronaldo right into this race. And the fact that Spencer has stuck with it just sort of gives me a little bit more confidence. And these older horses, handicap wise, you can set your watch to them literally to the pound. And Rio Ronaldo for me would sort of fit that bracket. Will only win in his turn. I mean, it's down to a mark of, like I say, 80, and could be competitive off 82, but probably couldn't win off it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So for me, just looks fairly attractive there tomorrow. And although the fly in the ointment could be the Willie Jarvis train, Cold Snap, who's very low mileage, and Willie Jarvis isn't a man to overface his horses. He's a very, very shrewd operator, and that one's open to any amount of improvement, and is also a course and distance winner. But Rio Ronaldo, if he's made the, you know, if he's come forward from the reappearance run, I expect him to be somewhere about on the premises tomorrow.
Okay, excellent stuff there. Our thoughts of Paddy Aspel ahead of Monday's racing. Just give us a quick recap, if you would, please, Paddy, of your 4 selections for the races we've looked at on Monday.
The first one in the 3:05 at Ponty was the Root Car Trained Art Collection. 2 from 2 so far from Root on the all-weather. Makes his seasonal debut on the grass off his all-weather mark of 88. I think he's got to step forward again, but he's in the form of his life, this horse, and in what is a trappy contest with horses weighted up to the hilt, I think he could go for the hat-trick here. Next one at Warwick was Innocent Girl. If she turns out, as we've just seen her in placed action at Wincanton just now, where she put up a pretty good performance to finish second, but hopefully she turns up tomorrow, because the yard are in very good order and there's some fantastic money on offer. And with Kieran Egger riding and taking 3 off, if she's none the worse for today's exertions, I think she could turn up and get competitive again tomorrow. My third selection at Navan, the 5:25, was the Aidan O'Brien trained Eastern Angel. Makes his debut for the yard after being picked up at the February sales for £500,000, and I mean, that's been a real good yardstick for the Dulles yard down the years, but goes got a good record fresh and also has a real liking for stiff tracks. My final selection in the 6:15 at Windsor was the course specialist Rio Ronaldo. Back below his winning mark of 81, he's down to 80 tomorrow, and I'm taking on trust that he's come forward for his reappearance run at Leicester a few weeks ago under Spencer, and he sticks with him. He's got a nice draw in 5 and did win about this time last year, so that was going to be my selection for the 6:15 at Windsor tomorrow.
Excellent stuff. Cheers, Paddy. Thanks for that, and we'll speak again soon.
No worries, Sam. Thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.